This podcast is sponsored by Runway, air traffic control for your mobile releases. Put your releases on autopilot. Runway will shepherd your release from kickoff to submission to release with no manual intervention. A single source of truth for your releases. Runway integrates with your favorite tools for a bird's eye view over release progress and blockers. Make your releases collaborative. Get a rich, contextualized release runbook that makes capturing responsibilities and tracking tasks crystal clear. Get more control on your releases on App Store and Play Store. Point your browser to runway.team. Thank you for sponsoring my podcast. I'm also revamping my newsletter. Check it out, appforce1.net to sign up. You can also find a sign-up link on my Twitter profile. Hi, my name is Jeroen Leenaerts and this is the 35th episode of my podcast. I've been developing software for over 18 years and I've been developing iOS apps for over 9 years. And I'm also running the Dutch Cocoaheads for close to 8 years. If you're an iOS app developer, you should listen to my podcast because it will keep you updated on interesting articles and events you might not have heard about. In this episode, I'm going to talk about Xcode DocC, understanding the Swift UI grid layout system. What are Swift Concurrency's task local values? A better way to ask for one-time user's location with the location button, and mastering search in Swift UI. Before we get started, I wanted to do a practical announcement. I was planning on doing a lead developer workshop on July 8th, but I had to postpone this one to September 2nd, so it will still happen, but I had to delay it by a couple of weeks because I couldn't execute on July 8th because of some conflicting entries that appeared in my calendar, and I wanted to carry it over the entire summer holiday period so that the maximum number of people can join. So just to get started with the articles of this week, Xcode DocC Getting Started by Yusha Loaf. Xcode 13 brings a whole new system for creating documentation. In his article, Keith shows that it is pretty straightforward to use DocC, and if you have been using doc commons before in your Swift codebase, then most likely most of the steps that you need to take, you are already familiar with. So if you've been documenting your code, just some small adjustments as described in Keith's article, and you will be on your way creating awesome DocC documentation for your code. Rudrank has an article on the Swift UI grid layout system. Before they were introduced during the WWDC in 2020, grids were among the most desired features to be included in Swift UI. Up to that point, you still had to create your own implementation to approximate UI collection views in Swift UI. And then the Swift team officially introduced the Lazy VGrid and Lazy HGrid layouts at the WWDC 2020. In this article, Rudrank will go over the basics of Swift UI grid layout, and he will demonstrate how you can create grids with Swift UI by developing a small reminder app. You may have noticed them in the Photos app or in the Calendar app. And it helps to accommodate more vital information on the same screen by splitting the screen in horizontal rows and vertical columns. In UIKit, this is something that you typically do with a UI collection view. In his article, Rudrank will describe how you can actually use the Lazy VGrid and Lazy HGrid layouts that were introduced during WWDC 2020 to create a grid-based layout that is scrollable and performs well. To step back in the Swift concurrency matter again, Donny Walls has written an article called What Are Swift Concurrency's Task Local Values? If you have been following along with Swift concurrency in the past few weeks, you might have come across the term task local values. Task local values are, like the name suggests, values that are scoped to a certain task. These values are only available within the context they're scoped to, and they are really only supposed to be used in a handful of use cases. In his post, Donny will explain what these task local values are, and more importantly, he will explain how and when they are useful. And if you want to have a full rundown of task local values and their design, you have to look at the SE0311 task local values proposal, which is also linked from Donny's article. So it's a very specific feature within the Swift concurrency system, but still, I remember from back in the day that you had thread local values, and I reckon that it's something similar compared to that, but a task is, of course, more tightly scoped than an entire thread. Just have a look at this article, and it's good to have this knowledge in your toolbox so that if you ever run into a situation that this is useful, then you are at least aware of this language feature being available to you on the Swift platform. So to keep going on all the new features that are going to be introduced with iOS 15 and the latest Swift release, Sarun has written an article called A Better Way to Ask for a One-Time User's Location with the Location button. As we all know, privacy is a core feature of all of Apple's products, and it isn't a surprise that users would be concerned about their privacy, especially when it comes to their location. So as a developer, when you ask for a user's sensitive data at inappropriate times, or you do not give enough clear context why you need this information, most likely there are users that will reject your request and you will not be able to proceed with all the information that you would like. So Apple in iOS 15 introduces a new way of asking for user location called the location button. In his article, Sarun tries to investigate what this location button is doing and what problem it is trying to solve, and how you can actually use the location button in your code. The best part of the location button is that as an end user, you are able to indicate how precise your location should be shared with the app that you're currently using. And then the final article called Mastering Search in SwiftUI is by Majid. And the SwiftUI release 3.0 brings a lot of expected features that were missing in previous versions of SwiftUI. And one of them is the ability to provide a search feature in your app. Fortunately, there's now the searchable view modifier. And in his article, Majid will try to explain what this searchable modifier exactly does and how you can use it in your codebase to create a great search experience for your end users. Majid starts first of all with the basics, and once the basics are covered and you know how you can actually implement the searchable modifier, Majid will go into a number of extra features on the searchable modifier that can be very useful when you want to implement searchability in your app. So based on his article, you should be able to get started creating the search feature in your app based on SwiftUI. You will also come to the conclusion that it is now very easy to make something searchable in your app if you are using the searchable view modifier. And that's the articles for this week. So now let's move to Donny's Monday morning tweet. There's actually a big announcement in one of the responses to Donny's Monday morning tweet, and that's by Niv Ben Porat. He can now share what he's been working on, and it's called the Teusdeurs iPhone app. And he included a movie and everything, and it's a great new way of implementing a to-do feature in an app. And it's very well implemented by the looks of things, if you look at the movie, and it's completely gesture-based. And it's a fun exercise in using a different approach to creating a to-do app. Corey D. Wiles is trying to figure out what are some okay practices of using either await async or using combine. And just when he thought he had a good handle on combine, he looks at the new concurrency stuff and it's starting to look like the future. Pavel indicates that it's again release week at his work, so he'll probably be busy with creating new builds and code signing and all that stuff. And Ganesh Padole learned about Core Data. He created some example app in Core Data, but he also learned Codable from the blog post by Donny, which were really helpful. TunesDev released a new tutorial yesterday showing how you can integrate login registration, password reset, and error handling into your SwiftUI apps with Firebase. Flow Writes Code finally released Challenge Me. It's the latest self-improvement app by Flow Writes Code. And it's been actually going pretty well, and there's some great download numbers exceeding the expectations by Flo. So this week Flo will do more marketing, and he or she will also create a YouTube video. And Eric Lippmann is at home taking care of his daughter and himself. Both of them got the cold. And Jim is hoping to carve out some time to evaluate a couple of Figma SwiftUI code generators. So very curious to your conclusions, Jim. Ricky is back from a week-long vacation, so piles and piles of email that need to be dealt with. So good luck catching up, Ricky. And if I look through all the responses, it's a lot of people dealing with work-related stuff, projects that need to be implemented, new features that are being announced and that need to be planned. So a lot of laying of groundwork for future releases of apps. and also a number of people have released their products actually onto the world. So good luck everybody, hang in there and keep on coding. And that's it for this week. I have a number of things planned over the coming weeks, so let's dive into that a little bit. I already recorded and edited interviews with Oscar Gorok, Mustafa Youssef and Kim Arnett. I also recorded with Anna Zarkova. I still need to edit that one. And I have interviews planned with Samuel Malyars, Sam McGeary and Rob Whittaker. So a lot of stuff going on, and you will likely discover in the coming weeks why I'm creating kind of a backlog of interviews ready to go. But more on that in future episodes of my podcast, and you will probably discover it by yourself why this is happening. And I look forward to releasing all this content onto my podcast feed, and I'm really looking forward to any feedback that you might have on all the interviews and other things that I have in store for you over the coming weeks. So enjoy your summer, and I really hope that you have some vacation plans, maybe even. Talk to you next week. Lead Developer, best practices and tips for lead software developers. PDF, MOBI and EPUB format. AppForce1.net/lead developer. All one word.